Welcome to Worldview Finder. Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Worldview Finder. We look at all the current events of the world today, whether it's media, news, movies, games, songs, or celebrities. We dissect the worldview these sources have in our lives. Everything pushes a worldview, so join us as we each find our view on this week's Worldview Finder.
Link, you may not be at a point where you have fully recovered your power or all your memories, but courage need not be remembered, for it is never forgotten.
Whoa.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm James.
Welcome to Worldview Finder 112.5.
Episode
We're doing a 20. Half episode.
Yeah, so
James is back for this brief episode. It's going to be short.
This is actually, we recorded this in February. We do these special podcasts way in advance because we know certain holidays like Labor Day come up.
So. Yeah, and so because it's Labor Day, it was Labor Day,
and you'll be listening to this on Wednesday.
The regular crew wasn't here, so we got James back. So James, you've been off the podcast a few weeks. The internet went crazy. Taylor Swift made a song. She said, "Because have you seen the video for Look What
I
Made
have
Me
not.
Do?"
She made a song about me.
Yeah, because she's like in it. She wrecks her car. And I'm pretty sure she was listening to Worldview Finder, and she's like, look what you made me do. Like, when she heard that James was off, she just wrecked her car into a pole. I was like,
I almost wrecked my car in a pole yesterday.
I can't deal with it. What?
Yeah, I put it in reverse, wasn't watching where I was going. I was in the parking lot of church, and I just, like, going through, and, like, I see a pole just go right by me. I was like, oh my gosh, Michelle was in the car.
Wait, how fast were you going backwards?
It was enough to, like, totally ruin half my car.
But you missed it?
Oh, yeah, but, like, 6 inches. Wait, I was like, that's a God thing.
Why were you going backwards so much?
I had to adjust for a picture. And I was like, it's easier just to like put it in reverse. And I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, man.
Dude, it could have been a bad day yesterday. Yeah. But it turned into a pretty good day. So thank goodness. So, yeah, I totally get Taylor Swift. So she wrecked her car.
Well, good. All right. So today we're going to talk about Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's been 6 months, and I finally beat it.
6 months. Man. You've spent 500 hours on this game.
I don't know how many hours. I don't know if there's...
I wish that would have recorded. I'm sure it recorded somewhere.
Probably. So, I spent a long time in this world.
And you didn't beat everything.
No, I didn't get to everything.
And you're done. You're putting it on the shelf.
So, there are going to be spoilers in this.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to talk about the worldview unit because it... Not the worldview of that, but the worldview of video games in a little bit. Because this one captures the imagination. So I'm going to say this off right at the beginning. This is my favorite game I've ever played.
Ever?
Name one that you've liked better.
Dude, it's like really close to Ocarina of Time. I'm not sure.
See, Ocarina of Time, I agree. Because Ocarina of Time was my favorite game. That's another Zelda game.
Maybe that's nostalgia speaking. Maybe it's too much nostalgia because it was such a huge shift. I've never seen anything like it. It's 3D. You're like, the world seems really big. The stories are so cool. Everybody's unique, and then you're trying to get all these little
quests.
There's
great music in that.
Yes, fantastic music. It's fantastic pacing, varied worlds. I was like, this is the first time, because if you remember Zelda, the top down, you're like, man, this is like, what?
Well, yeah.
And it's like huge, huge change.
Yeah, for N64. I will say Ocarina of Time was one of my favorites. Until this one.
Man.
The sense of discovery in this game. This is where I know some of you have already probably tuned out, but this game, like, you start off at the beginning.
Yeah.
And you get everything you're going to get for the game. So it does completely different what Zelda normally does. Normally, Zelda, you start with, like, a little sword and a bow, maybe. And then you get things.
Wooden shields.
Yeah, you go find a big dungeon. You solve the puzzles of the dungeon. You get through it. Yeah. You fight a boss. And he gives you an item that's going to help you, like bombs. Okay, now I can open up this other area that was blocked off by bombs. And every Zelda game has been like that.
This one kind of like that. There's certain areas you can't go to unless you have a certain item.
No.
Yeah.
You can get to any area at any time after you do the opening sequence. But even the opening sequence is, here's the Great Plateau, go have fun, and then find these three items, or these four things, and then come back to me, and then I'll give you a hang glider.
Reliving it all over. I remember the night we went and bought it.
We did!
It was like sort of snowing.
It was snowing, and we bought the Switch.
And we got lucky, because we went to GameStop. They were out, and then you called. Buy. We were driving out of nowhere. Where were we driving? Walmart.
We were driving to Best Buy, and there's a line outside. And I called Walmart and said, hey.
Do you have any? And they had, like, what, two?
They had two or three left.
And I could have gotten one that night.
You could have.
And I chose not to.
So.
What a dumb decision.
James is wise with his money. So, yeah, so no. we bought it that night, and we pulled out back, and we were in my car, and you pulled out Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
It felt so good.
I know. It's just.
You're just like this brand new. It looked great. It still looks great.
So you do the first area part, and it's a tutorial, sort of, but not in the sense of, like, hey, do this, do this. Yeah. It's just like, you can do whatever, and when you finish this, then I'll give you a hang glider, and then you can go. Because, like, that area is huge, the beginning area. So you're like, okay, this is a big game. Then you're like, here's a hang glider.
Dude, that hang glider changed everything.
Yeah, so.
Without that, you're not getting anywhere.
They put you on top of this huge tower, and he's like, anywhere you can see, you can go.
Yeah, like, that's pretty amazing.
Okay, so I want to, here's where this captures my imagination and my, like, sense of adventure, because the game Destiny 2 actually launches tomorrow.
Yay.
The first Destiny, I read tons of articles about it beforehand, and I was super excited about Destiny. I loved it. It was a good game.
Yeah.
But here's what I was really excited about, because then they did a demo of it at a conference, and they're like, hey, you can go anywhere in this game. They're like, this guy, like, starts off, there's, like, this huge area, and he's like, we're going to this wall. But he, like, looks behind him, there's this cliff. He's like, yeah, you can jump off there, and there's stuff down there, and you can go explore and do all this stuff. I'm like,
That's awesome.
And he's like, and you'll start off on your adventure. He's like, you'll say, hey, we're going to do this today. And you'll go with your friends and you'll be like, oh, what's this over here? And you'll go over there and you'll end up doing something completely different and be done. Like, and you'll do that. You'll never get to that main objective that you wanted to. And so I was like, this is great. So I was so excited about that game.
Yeah.
It came out. I start in that area that he was on the demo.
He jumps off and he dies.
Immediately. It's like, you died. I was like, you said I could go anywhere.
Drake, no!
Yeah. So this game delivered on that promise. Yeah. Like, and the sense of adventure where you're like, oh, you're going to go here and do this? I did it. I could go anywhere and do anything in that game.
That is pretty amazing. Because you go and you try it on other games, like Tomb Raider. I can't even jump over this little thing.
Yeah.
Or Uncharted. It's pretty limited. It's pretty, like, narrow.
Uncharted, you can only climb stuff that you're supposed to climb. It's like, oh, this is has a yellow...
Yeah, hey, it's got a marker.
So I can climb this. But this game, like, just said,
here's limits.
Here's the stuff.
As long as you have the stamina.
Yeah, here's the stuff you'll need. Go and explore.
How many times did you try to climb something only to find out you couldn't?
Oh,
you're like halfway up. You're like, man, I don't have enough stamina. I'm not gonna make it.
Yeah, so a couple times.
Yeah, but
the worst was rain. When it was raining in the game, you try to climb something, you just slide back. So
that's the lightning.
So what? Yeah, what was a moment in the game that you're like, okay, this is incredible. Like, this is a moment where it's probably unscripted. Was there any unscripted moments you're like, this is? I'll give an example. So, like, I'm playing, I'm fighting, there's, like, all these bad guys, I'm getting smoked.
Yeah.
I'm not doing well. This storm is upon me, and there's, like, lightning going, and I was like, okay, I'm in trouble. So I take one of my swords that, like, it's metal, so it conducts electricity, throw it, it lands in the middle of these guys, and lightning strikes.
Awesome. I've never even thought about that.
Like, it just smokes the whole area.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, because I'm wearing this thunder helm that I got from doing all these quests, so I'm immune to lightning.
Well, yeah.
So I would run in with that on. That's right. I would have the helmet on and then run in with my sword of lightning and just wait, and it would strike me and blast the bad guys.
Man,
and so
I need to get that.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, it was, it's incredible. So, But that's the thing with the game. Like, there were so many unscripted moments. I listened to another podcast, and he was talking about this skeleton horse. He's like, I found this skeleton horse.
Yeah.
Like, this bad guy's riding. He's like, I kill the bad guy. I get on a skeleton horse. It's night. He's like, I ride it to the stable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, I want to board this horse. And the guy's like, that's a monster. What are you doing? They're like freaking out, running around. And then all of a sudden, like, it turns sunlight, and the horse just disappears. And he's like, it was so amazing. Because he's like, it's just these moments that you have. Like, the quests and all this stuff were very, like, good, too. But the unscripted moments. So was
just
there a moment like that? Like,
it's a really blurry.
It's been a long for you.
It has.
I just finished it. So, and I know this is a long time coming, but
the sense of awe and the scale. Like, I got done with that first tutorial session, right, where you get the thing. And you're getting ready to jump off. And you're like, man, like, I don't know where to go. I'm just going to go and fight. And then I find some people and they're huge, way tougher. See, that was the thing I always struggled with. I'd go in areas I'm like, I'm not ready to go in this area yet. Because these guys are, I don't have a good weapon.
Or enough hearts. Or
yeah. And so,
But no, you can still go there. You can still sneak around.
Being on that
there.
Island, the Test Island.
Ventide Island.
Yeah, that was amazing. Like, I was like, you know what? I just saw it from a distance. I'm like, I'm going to go check that out. Like,
yeah, can I go there, right? Because it's way off in the distance.
I don't know. I was like, jump, go. Just exploring and finding those little things. Just, you're like, ah. Or the dark forest.
Yeah. Talk about Ventide Island. Because you could zoom in on the map and you're like, oh, this is way out in the ocean.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there.
Yeah, well, I started, like, looking at the map, right? And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Because I was just... I spent a good portion of my time at first shrine scouring. So I was, like, looking for shrines, trying to get my hearts up because I wanted to get the Master Sword.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, you need at least 13. And so I was like, man, I need to get, like, something... So many shrines. Half the shrines I didn't beat because they were so tough at the time. I was like, I can't beat these guys. But, yeah, you fly out there. I flew. I jumped off and flew.
Oh, you flew?
I think.
I didn't have enough stamina.
I had a lot.
There was a shrine in the ocean, and then I at the shrine, there was a boat, and then I used a leaf to flutter myself to the island.
So you land, and it takes all your stuff. And I was so frustrated. I was like, I can't. No! So then you go around this island. You have to fight these people without any of your stuff.
Yeah, when you get there, it says, hey, this is a challenge.
Yeah.
And it takes all your stuff.
Yeah, the only thing you have are your skills, like the bombs. I'd use those a lot.
So I loved it, too, because I get there, and then it's like Robinson Crusoe. Or like, all you are is in shorts. They take away all your armor, all your stuff. You're in shorts, and you have the stuff from the Sheikah Slate. So you have the bombs and all
pictures.
That. So you got to just find stuff.
Oh, man.
So
you fight people, you get stuff, but then you got that big Cyclops who shows up, and it took me forever to kill him. I was like, I don't have anything. And you run around circles, jump, and then like run around. He almost got me a couple times. I was like, man, I don't have any like health things. I can't bring back health.
So the enemies in the game. So that like the Hinox is one of those examples. He's a giant Cyclops guy.
Yeah.
But he like when you trigger his music, he's like boom 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 boom. It's kind of like this comical. He stands up, he ripped trees out of the ground and trying to hit you with them. So you're like attacking him, but he's got these shin guards on. But if you shoot his eye a couple times, it'll start blocking his eye. So then you can't shoot his eye.
Yeah.
But then you can catch his shin guards on fire because they're made of wood. And so then he like bends down and tries to put out his fire. Then you shoot him in the eye. It was so good. Like just the way they design things in that game.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to top. It really is.
I don't know.
Man, Zelda, this has been like 5 or 6 years in the making, I feel like.
Yeah,
this
was
coming on the Wii U for a long time.
I don't know where they go next, but the new Mario game looks pretty.
Yeah, that's like an open world.
Pretty great. So, Ventide Island, and then there's the Land of Darkness.
Yeah, where it's total dark. That was really tough.
Yeah, so you have to go in and find something in this woods.
It was tough even getting in at first. I was like, I tried to fly in. I'm like, I'm just going to drop in. And then it's like, nope, I drowned. Because it's dark.
Yeah, you can't get
in. It's like the Lost Woods.
So, man.
Which the Lost Woods is really cool. And all the stuff that you can do on that. I was like, man.
So, I'd say one moment for me that like was just, I felt like... really smart and really cool. Like I'm in the desert area, and there's these huge statues, like six, maybe 5 or 6 of them, just standing in the distance. And I'm like, what is that? And so I go over to them, and they're just massive things. And then like each of them has a symbol, and there's a ball, and so you have to like solve this puzzle. But I had gotten no instruction on this. Like I didn't find anybody that's like, hey, you need to go do this or whatever. So I'm like, I'm figuring this out. So I figure it out, and I like solve the puzzle, and then the shrine comes out of the ground. And I was like. Yay. I am so smart, right? Like I just I feel like the game was uniquely mine, but like a lot of us did some of the same things. But you never found Tarrytown.
No, I didn't. You know, well, I did. I found where it's at. I didn't realize it was supposed to be a town.
Yeah. So
because it's by a fountain, a fairy fountain.
Yeah. So early on in the game...
I was like, this looks like something. That's the thing. Anytime you come across something in Zelda, you're like, man, this looks like it's probably going to be something. It is. Yeah. You're like, this looks like an odd place for a stone. Let's lift it up.
And there's these things called Koroks. There's 900 of them in the game. There's, 120 shrines. Like, there's just stuff to always do. And there's so many stables. Like, there's stuff that I can go walk around in that game. I've been in there, like, spent tons of time in that game. And there's still stuff. Did you find the snowboard lady?
Yep.
Okay.
I wasn't very good at that.
Oh. Dude, yeah, there's some lady that's like, yeah, I'm the snowboard champion.
Yeah, you're like, this is awesome. Well, that's the thing. You go places, you're like, I bet there's something up there.
Yeah.
And you go up there, you're like, yep, it was somebody or something.
And that's what I feel like made this game so great. It was just the sense of discovery that there wasn't anything on the map that said,
no,
hey, this place.
This is where you go.
Yeah.
Except for the main. If you do the main quest, it'd be like, well, you have to go to fight this thing.
Yeah, but even then, like, there wouldn't be a point on your map that said this is where you need to go. They're like, hey, you got to find the Zora Village. And I'm like, I don't know where the Zora Village is.
I think it's over here.
Yeah, and so it was just...
That was tough getting to.
The Zora, yeah.
The rain.
Rained all the time, yeah. And you could, and there was all electricity people.
All those electricity.
So there was so much stuff in this game that, like, when it would happen... Because I told my daughter, Quincy, because she loved this game. She wouldn't let me fight the final boss until
she was there.
Yeah, I would give her the control and let her play some. I would never save those.
No, well, you...
Let her
when
play
she gets
through
older.
It. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right, here you go. This was the game.
Well, she would play some of it. I mean, she would run around and stuff. Like, when a big enemy would come up, she would hand me the controller.
See, this is one of those games that it can hold, I think. I think it'll hold for the next 5 or 6 years, at least. Graphically, I mean, it looks good enough now. And mechanically.
Yeah.
From the control point.
I think this game will look back and, like, this is the game that started changing open world games. Because it... It took some elements from other stuff, but the sense of exploration and the way that... Because at the very beginning, when you like open up that tower and you've got the hang glider, and like you can see all the other towers that you need to get to open up the map areas.
Because they... Yeah.
So, yeah, because like, towards the end, when I'm like, I don't have a map of this area, so I've got to find this tower and activate it so I can have the map. Because that's where you, like... Then you can zoom in on the map, like, oh, this area looks cool.
Yeah, see stuff.
This. Did you find the heart-shaped lake?
Yep.
Yeah,
with the person up top. See, I would just walk on. I'm like, I'm going up to the top of this mountain. I'm going to the highest mountains. That's what I'm doing. That's what I made a goal of.
And you just
fly. And then I just jump and fly for as long as I could.
So, in that game, I would be like, okay, today I'm going to go fight this person. Or I'm going to go fight this divine beast. I start the game, I go in that direction, and then, like...
Something happens.
Oh, there's this girl standing by the river, and she's kind of sad. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? She's like, I'm sending these letters downstream to this guy, but I don't know what he looks like, and so I want to make sure that he's a good man before I, like, pursue this further. And she's like, so I'm going to send this letter, and you kind of spy it out and see where it goes and who gets it. So I'm like, okay. So I have to, like, protect this letter going downstream. I can't carry it because I have to. And so like, several times I broke the letter and I had to go back and get another one. I know. She's like, what happened to my letter? Like, I blew it up.
I tried to protect
it. Yeah, so but it was this great, like, moment. I'm like, this is fun.
Yeah,
like,
the little stories. See, and that's the thing. I think that's different from Ocarina of Time. Is there more scripted? I guess they give it a bigger... Since it's more story-driven, Ocarina of Time is way, like, set pieces, and it's contained areas.
Right.
Which I actually really like. It's just, I don't know. I know that it's set scripted, but these are open-world scripted stuff. But, like, it's just... Yeah, that's cool. Like, they bring that back, and they're like, man, like, there's so many of these areas.
And they give players, like... complete freedom. And so, I mean, to do that with a game, I think it has to be really hard. Like, I can't be impossible because they did it. But, like, the fact that I could be in a field and catch it on fire, and then that would create an updraft from the... And I could fly up.
That.
And, see, and you play... How many hours did you put in this game?
A lot. There's a lot I didn't know. I finally, at the end, discovered the easy way to kill those divine guys, the guardians.
Oh, yeah.
And then once I learned that, I was like, oh, these guys are so easy. But here's the thing with this game. So some people complain about it being emptier, which, I see there's areas that might be a little more empty than others.
Yeah.
But the enemies always come back. So you're like, you always have somebody to fight. Which can be frustrating sometimes. You're like, man, I thought I cleared all these out. All the guardians. Now, the coolest thing... That one of the cooler things I discovered, and Adrian discovered this,
my sister,
was the labyrinths.
Oh yeah,
you just come up to, and you're like, "What is that?" Like,
I didn't even know about these until you guys talked about them.
I was seeing that on the map, I'm like, that's a weird structure, like shape. It's like so geometrical, and then you come up to, you're like, "That's a labyrinth." What?
Yeah, there's giant mazes in the middle of the game. Three of them.
It's pretty cool. Now. Some of that stuff, I think they could have made more epic. And that's where open world versus dungeon, right? Because it is the size. And And you can climb anything, except for that labyrinth. You can't climb the labyrinth.
You can climb.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Can you? Okay, I don't know.
You could, but like, but they always hid the shrine in the middle of it, and like it was under stuff, so you couldn't ever access it from the top anyway.
So, but yeah, there's just so many. There were a lot of cool areas. You're like, man, every single area is really cool. I think the hardest enemy I faced, though, was those one dudes.
Lionels.
Yes, Lionels.
The half man, half lion. Ugh. Or half horse, half lion.
Dude, those guys still can't kill them easy.
Oh, yeah, I know. Like, even the end boss of the game, I'm like, I beat him pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, I went in with only a little bit of stuff. I did almost run out of arrows or something. I was running low when I was fighting him. But, yeah, those guys, I'm like, this is crazy. Because he shoots his little arrow in the sky, and you're like, oh, here it comes. You should have had an easier time. I just shot him with the special arrows.
But it disappears.
Yeah, but then you don't get anything. All
right, Bill Wall commented. He said, thanks, guys. I want the Xbox One X, iPhone 8. My wife wants wood floors, and now I got to have the Switch with Zelda. So much for wood floors. Wait till my wife talks to you two. So,
wood floors.
You can get this for the Wii U as well. That's what I got it on. Yeah, and it looks good. It's still the same game. But I liked it on the Switch because I could pick it up and play it. Like, you can travel with it. Yeah. So,
I mean, I could walk around the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Switch is really nice because you can. And it's a better screen. Like, I'd play on the Wii U screen, which is a standard definition screen. It's not terrible. It's, like, better than... it's almost like a DS game, right?
Yeah.
A bit bigger. Double or quadruple the resolution. But, yeah, it was...
Because one of the parts I was talking about with Quincy, I was like, Quincy, this is going to blow your mind. So I got, like, at the beginning, you get the Zora outfit, and you can swim up waterfalls. And I don't know why that, like, just, because I'm like, hey, go to this waterfall, and you hit this button. And I just swim up the waterfall.
Dude, isn't that great?
And then I get to the top, and then I start gliding. I was like, this is what, I'm like,
I can go anywhere.
Just those little things, and you're like, oh, this is so... incredible. Like, they did an amazing job of just shaping this world and all this stuff. So, I want to talk about the worldview of it, though. Not just of the game, but, like, of games in general. Because I listened to a podcast. I sent it to you. You probably didn't listen to it because I sent it this morning. But it was 15 minutes, and it was just this guy, like, writing this essay about Breath of the Wild and talked about the things that he did and stuff in it. And everybody's story is different about this game. Like, yeah, you fight the same people and all this stuff, but, like, the things, like... Those unscripted moments where you find a skeleton horse or you are in the middle of battle and you've got a helmet that protects you from lightning and everybody else blows up around you. Like, those little things are just incredible. And like, even those moments, and he talked about it in this podcast, he's like, it's a sense of adventure that you don't necessarily get from other things. He's like, because they dubbed this... the Nintendo people called it an open-air adventure. And he's like, okay, adventure, that word is thrown around. But it's like, I felt that, though. Yeah. I felt like... because he told a story about, like, when you first got to the opening village in the game, like, after you got off the plateau, and he's like, there's this village you get to... or maybe it was a stable. And he said, like, yeah, I see this giant thing, and I go to the stable, there's a fire, there's people standing around it, I talk to people, and he's like, and I sit by the fire, and I rest. And he's like, I just had this sense of... accomplishment, and like, I've done something, and I feel like the game does that well, and it creates a sense of adventure that I think is lacking in our lives. Like, that's why
I play video games.
Yeah, I know. When I heard his podcast, I'm like, this is spot on, because he said there's something about this game that he's like, it's gonna be hard, because he wrote this right when the game came out. He's like, for the next couple weeks and months, people are gonna be trying to say, what is it that this game had? And he's like, you can't really say exactly, but he's like, but it's just this sense of adventure that you have, that when you start off on something, you're like, oh, I'm going to go do this. Because when I got done with the game, like, I finished it, and I was a little sad, but at the same time, I'm like, I feel like I got a ton out of this game. Like, I felt like at the end of it, I had enough strength and courage to go, because you can go fight Ganon at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Like after you get off the plateau, you can go straight to the castle and get in there and just get smoked. And you can do that, because the game allows you to do that.
Yeah, freedom.
And I'm waiting for, like, a run-through. There probably is out there that somebody does it with three hearts and gets...
Well, they do it in 40... They beat the game in 45 minutes. That's like,
yeah, so I'm gonna...
something crazy short. You're like, man.
So...
but it's not even enjoyable, though.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, that's just a speed run after. But I thought about that because, like, every time I started the game, I was like, okay, I had a goal in mind of what I was going to do, and I almost never got to that goal. Or if I did, it took me a long time because I ended up going on this route and doing something and finding this guy over here, and he told me to do this. Because the Terrytown quest, like, you build this whole entire town. Like it's not there, and you and Adrian both did not do that quest at all. But, like, you go throughout the whole map, you bring people from every major village, and they build this town, and it's all these people, and then, like, the main guy that you, like, you're building the town for ends up getting married, there's a wedding ceremony, you find a priest, like, it was insane. And, like, I'm like, most people would miss this completely, right? Like, they would never see Bolson construction guy get married.
Yeah,
and you're like, I missed it. To Gerudo, I always say that wrong. But yeah, and so it's like these moments of just like, oh, I helped this town. Like, I started this town with this guy.
Yeah.
And so why do we feel like our life lacks adventure? That's what I want
to... Because I don't do everything in that game. Because
I don't have a sword that...
8 to 6. Let's be honest. Video games are always way more exciting than real life. I was playing Just Cause 3 last night. I can't do that in real life. However, I will say, I do have this sense of morality. Because I'm fighting a dictator. And there are obvious bad guys and good guys. You got the people of the town who just suffer from the dictator. And then you've got the bad guys, who is the army and this dictator. Yeah. And so, like, I'm trying, anytime, like, I accidentally killed a civilian, and I felt bad, he'd be like, oh, man, sorry about that. You know, he'd apologize in the game, but I'd feel bad, because I'm like, I'm trying to help you guys out. Or if I'd steal somebody's car, I only, like, stole twice.
Oh.
Like, oh, man, that's some citizens. I'm trying to help them. So, but you know, I don't do that in real life.
Yeah, so you can do things you don't do in real life, but... Yeah. But when Jesus says, he's like, I came to give you life and that to the fullest. Like, I came to give you life to the full. Like, you should, like, I feel like our walk with Christ should be like an adventure. Because you read about Paul, and Paul's like, look, I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned. I've been, like, all this stuff that happened to him in his life. And I'm like, are we missing the adventure of Christ? Like, that's what, like, so when I walk away from this game, I'm like, yeah, it was this epic adventure. And it was this amazing time. But... For what? Like, it was just this... It was for my own pleasure. Like, right, it was a selfishness. Not selfish, I mean, like, I got to play with my daughter, and it was fun. Well, yeah, but I got to play with Quincy, and she enjoys it, and she likes running around in the world and all this stuff, and she likes going to the shops and buying the jewelry. That's like the first time she's bought all this stuff, I'm like, oh, I'm not saving this. But yeah, but it's just that idea of, like, I feel, like, almost this emptiness in that game, because I'm like, okay, this is so epic and so adventurous and so fun. But my life with Christ should be that. It should be this amazing adventure where, like, people are getting saved and people are getting healed and people are being transformed from the inside out by who Christ is. And I should be a part of their story. Like, I should every day get up and be like, okay, God, this is what my goal is for the day. And then along the way, people come into my path that I get to share the love of Christ with. And there's all this adventure that should be happening that I feel like, oh, I kind of miss it because...
Yeah.
I'm playing Zelda. No, that's not why I miss it, because I do that at night after everybody's in bed. And so I'm like, man, there's something out there that that I think that we long for this adventure that Christ offers us freely that we miss.
I think it's a point of access, right? It's the bar of entry is so much easier with a video game. I don't have to deal with drama as much.
Yeah, with drama,
I have control, right?
Yeah, I can solve these people's problems.
Whereas if you're going out with people, you are dealing with real people, and you don't have control. Like, you don't, and we strive for control.
Yeah.
If you can look at your own life, look at the actions you take, we like our control over our life. Like, we like to be the makers of our own destiny. Even if we get to a point where, like, I don't like this destiny.
Destiny
we still, yeah, right? Hey. But yeah, like, it's just easier. I don't have to deal with this. I bet there were points where you were frustrated that Quincy had to be around. You're like, oh man, I can't do this yet because Quincy has to be here, right? Because she'll get mad.
Yeah.
And so that's bringing in a real person, interacting with a real person with your game.
Well, I wasn't mad about that because I'm glad that she wants to share that experience with me.
So you wanted to share it with a real human being.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah.
That's a moment. So you're going to look back as her dad. That's the thing. You're shaping the moments now. Everything you do now, it's not like it. You're going to get there. It's happening as you progress, right? That's what life is, experience.
Yeah.
And one day you're old and you look back and you say, what do I have to show for it?
Were those moments, yeah. And I mean, me and my dad bonded around video games some as well. Like, he didn't play anything today. But the game Myst, do you remember that game?
They only had the Nintendo back then.
Yeah, but like, when I was in middle school, or maybe high school, I got the game Myst. I think it was middle school. I don't know if you remember that game. That game was phenomenal. It was this adventure game. But I just remember playing with my dad, and I'm like, oh, this is fun. Like, we were kind of figuring out puzzles together and solving stuff, and so it was good. Yeah. But, okay, so Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild... You've got to play it. Like, this is a game that's going to define...
That's a safe game. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You're fighting evil. It's very clear good and evil. Now, sure, there's some...
mysticism, spiritual
it's spiritual weirdness. Stuff, because it is a Japanese game.
Yeah.
I mean, it throws to a priest, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they wouldn't link the priest to the Catholic Church.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's...
There's some spirituality stuff that's a bit weird, but...
You're a person on a quest to do good... For the entire world.
World. And you've also been asleep for 100... Like, it's like you've been resurrected to come and fight evil.
Yeah, so...
Because you fought this battle. You sort of lost, but not, like... You were basically put into sleep for 100 years. And so the world has been in shambles for 100 years. Yeah. Now you're rising up as the hero to come and save... Defeat evil for good. Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of this resurrection story of... Christ returns and is coming back to defeat evil.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say that, but it is. So you're off on this quest, and like, as you're going, man, it's just, it's epic. It's an adventure. It is something that, and just watching videos of it doesn't do it justice. No,
not at all. Don't even do that. Don't even start. You're wasting, I mean, I could watch you, but it's not as fun. You've got
to
play it.
Right. Because once you're in the seat playing it, that's when you start to like get directed to the different stuff. And that's when you're like, oh, I can go, I found a giant horse. Like, there's like these people talking about this horse. Like, this horse is huge. And I'm like, I want to find this giant horse. And I went and got it, and it took me forever to tame him, but I did.
See, I never used horses.
I didn't very much.
I was like, it's such a pain. To get a horse.
Yeah.
It's not like in Ocarina of Time. You just, like, do the whistle and you're like, oh, what? Look at that.
There were a lot of stables around.
There were a lot of stables.
If you were close by, you could whistle for your horse. But most of the time, I didn't ride a horse.
I was really disappointed. I'm like, I want my Ocarina.
That's where I did get frustrated with Quincy. She wanted me to get every horse and tame it and name it Quincy. I'm like, I've already got enough. When I got the giant horse, I'm like, I don't need any other horses because he never runs out of stamina. So find the giant horse. Go find the deserts. Man, I could talk for hours on this game. I can go back because there's still so much I haven't done. It's just amazing. So, all right. Hey, thanks for joining us on this short episode today as we just geek out about the best game I've ever played in my life. So,
the second best game I've ever played.
You still, Ocarina of Time, still your favorite?
Man, I think so. Okay. I don't know. They're so different and yet.
Same.
I'm like, I appreciate Ocarina of Time because it's amazing transition and hugeness for its time.
Yeah.
And just its unique, like, it's just very creative. You're just like, so good. So good. And the stories. I just felt so linked to all the people.
Linked. Good job.
So, but yeah.
All right. I'm Chris.
I'm James.
This has been Worldview Finder, episode 112.5. We'll be back next week with our normal crew, I hope. Who knows? We'll see.
Bye.
See you next time.
Thanks for joining us on Worldview Finder as we dove into some awesome topics. Just because we talk about a specific source or worldview does not mean we endorse them or the product. So use discernment about what you take in. Have an awesome week and see you next time. Welcome to Worldview Finder.